We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. This is Coach Speak on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome from the LO Fiber Studios. This is Coach Speak. We have a full plate today. On with us just in a little bit will be John Rakeski, the outstanding basketball coach for the Windsor Wizards boys as they head down to the Final Four and take on Mesa Ridge. We also have on our show today Houston Reed, UNC assistant basketball coach, who also has two kiddos. Olivia plays for Colorado Mesa, and his son Johnny is on that Windsor Wizards team. And then to wrap up the show today, we will have Matt Johansson, the head coach from the Fossil Ridge Sabercats, as they go down and entertain the Regis team coached by Ken Shaw. But first, let's welcome John Rakeski, head coach of the Windsor Wizards. Coach, how we doing today?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you guys?
Great. Congratulations, first of all. What a great run, and to make it to the Final Four, such a great accomplishment. But your team is 22-4 going in. You won the Northern at a 13-1 league record. Coach, one of the most impressive wins, as I look back on your schedule, and this happened early in the season, you defeated Denver East early on. Tell us if, you know, it's been a long time ago, but that's an impressive win. Denver East, the Angels in the Final Four as well. And talk to us a little bit about that tough non-league schedule that you prepared your team for.
Well, yeah, you know, we knew we had a capable team coming into the season, and we scheduled accordingly because of that. A lot of 6A schools, not just 6A schools, but top 10 6A schools. And, you know, whether we won them or lost them, you know, we kind of viewed it as an opportunity to grow and learn and, you know, try to take some things away from it to prepare us for later on, to prepare us for league play, prepare us for the playoffs. And so it was brutal at times. You know, we started the season off, obviously, with the Fossil Ridge tournament, and we played Denver East, Fossil Ridge, and Vista Ridge. All 6A schools, all top 10 at some point, 6A schools. Two of them are in the 6A Final Four with Denver East and Fossil Ridge. And, you know, we took our lumps early, and, you know, but we learned from them, and we got better, and we used it as kind of motivation to improve. And it also humbled us, too, which added to that level of motivation to improve the rest of the way. And so, yeah, I mean, I hardly remember the Denver East game. I know they threw us for a loop for, you know, they played a 2-3 zone, which we didn't really expect. I think we were in the same boat as everybody as far as pretty limited practices leading up to that game, and we knew they would be competitive. They were in the 6A Final Four the year before, and we got slowed down with the 2-3 zone. We hadn't worked on 2-3 zone offense that much and at that point, and somehow we played together, and David Hageman made a really tough shot in overtime to win it. It was a pretty fun game. So it's cool to see the teams that we played go as far as they have, including your team, Coach. And we're kind of thankful for that journey along the way because we learned a lot from those games.
Well, Coach, you have six seniors, I believe, on your roster. Looking back when these seniors were freshmen, did you anticipate the kind of year that they have had as a senior group and getting to the Final Four?
You know, we knew we had a bunch of basketball junkies on our hands. That's what we knew. You know, they came in, they're skinny and, you know, still growing and just eager to learn and grow. And, we didn't really know that we would be in this position. You know, I think most of them played at grade level. I think David Hageman played up on the JV team that season. There might've been one more, but, you know, really what we knew is that we had a bunch of kids that loved basketball and that they were going to put some time in. And I think, over the course of time, you know, those guys kind of stuck with it and kept working and kept getting better. And I think it's a testament to their work ethics, honestly. Nobody was sitting here saying we have the best, you know, we have these amazing freshman class coming in. It was a good numbers class. It was a class that loved basketball. And over the course of the 4 years, they put a lot of time in it. And as a result, they improved a lot. And obviously, I think the other thing that we have to talk about is the fact that these guys have been playing together for a long time, and that chemistry and that unity and that love, you know, is really, really an important, valuable tool to have. I don't know I was probably thinking about that year's varsity team more than sure. I was like, hey, this freshman class. But, we knew they had some talent and they loved the game. And kudos to them for not quitting and keep working and keep grinding. And now they have memories that will last them forever.
Absolutely. And that just shows younger kids, you know, the perseverance. And it's not where you start. It's what you finish. And it's such a process to become a really good high school player. It just doesn't mm-hmm. happen. There's so much, you know, open gym time, summer time, individual work time. These guys on your team are a great example of that. Coach, you've overcome some adversity this year as well. I was looking, and you've only had four players play in all 26 games, which means you've had to mix and match because of illnesses, because of injuries, that you have not obviously had that same starting lineup from first game to last game. I'm going to use Madden Smiley, freshman, broke a foot. You know, that's an example of didn't play in a majority of your games, is back playing now. But tell us about some of those adjustments that you've made throughout the year.
Well, that kind of surprised me. You're saying we only had four guys that played in every game?
That's according to Max Preps.
Wow. Well, I want to go look at that now, because I don't feel like it's been that way. But if stats don't lie, unless I entered them in incorrectly, which is a possibility. I think Madden, Clay, I know Clay was sick for a couple games. He got, the sickness went through the team. Who else? I mean, and then obviously Madden, Madden, came in and started, probably the first, the games, in December. Over a non-mandatory shoot around, essentially over Christmas break, he had just a bad luck and came down on someone's ankle and rolled his ankle really bad. And so he missed pretty much all of January. And part of December over the Christmas break. The one thing that this team has is that we do have a lot of depth. And fortunately enough, I think Clay Wright really stepped up when Madden went down. And, the thing that I can really trust and it gives me confidence is that, we are, eight, potentially nine players deep. And we have guys that come off the bench that are more than capable of starting. I mean, really, I have that confidence and I have that trust in those guys coming off the bench to be impact players. And so when a kid gets sick or there's an injury, I think our team really just trusts that there's another guy, a capable guy that is ready and eager to fill those roles. We're fortunate to be in that that position, because not as many teams are as deep as we are, and they don't have the same type of capable players coming off the bench. Some teams go to the bench and they there's a noticeable decline in play. For us, I mean, it's just kind of we're a consistent threat defensively and offensively when we go to the bench, and that's awesome. That makes our team a little unique.
Yeah, it really does, and just shows you the selflessness of some of the kids, too, because your balance has increased. You know, you have various guys hitting the boards. I know Johnny Reed, your leading rebounder. David Hagman's your leading scorer. But so many other guys contribute to especially those intangible things that just make a good team. Hey, Coach, let's talk Mesa Ridge. You know, man, it comes down to the North versus the South in 5A basketball with you guys taking on Mesa Ridge, Frederick taking on the Air Academy cadets, but very talented team. Tell us some of the things that you've been preparing your team for against Mesa Ridge going into tomorrow's contest.
You know, all year, you know, we've heard about Air Academy, we've heard about Mesa Ridge, and they just kept climbing the ladder. You know, obviously Mesa Ridge is undefeated, but I really didn't know anything about them. Didn't play them in the summertime. Didn't have any really working knowledge of how good they were. It wasn't really until, you know, we won last week and we knew we were playing Mesa Ridge that we started watching film as a staff. And I think the thing that really impressed me was their ability to pass the ball. That ball does not stick. It is always moving. It's always rotating the defense. And they are really an unselfish basketball team. It makes them really hard to press. It makes them really hard to zone. And I think that was one of the things that stood out to me was just, you know, anytime Lewis Palmer, or Central or just all the films that all the game film that we watched, it, nobody could trap them. Nobody could press them. Nobody could zone them because of their ability to unselfishness, just to move that ball. And so that is, you know, they average 20 assists a game, not like a one-time thing. They average that.
That's incredible. That's a great stat.
It is incredible. And so I was really, really impressed with their team. You know, obviously with sharing the ball, they are. But I think the, you know, the best thing that they have going right now is their defense. I kind of told our team that we're kind of playing ourselves in the sense that. They're a really good defensive team, and they're an unselfish team. And I think a lot of their offense comes from their defense. It's just it is a no-middle defense. They shift you and keep you on a side. They're in passing lanes. They're really active with their hands. And they seem to really enjoy playing defense. And so nothing is easy. To score on Mesa Ridge is challenging. You got to rotate the defense. You got to beat them up the floor. There's a lot of things that stood out to me. Passing the ball, their defense, just a really, really incredible shooting team. You know, we've played, you know, Meade over the last couple of years has been a really, really impressive shooting team. You know, on the court at any given time, I'll just give you some stats, Coach. One of their dudes is averaging 48% from three. And I'm not talking about he's shot like 10 threes on the
season.
You know, he's shot 120.
This is a lights out kid. Yeah.
Another kid is 40%. Another kid is 39%. Another kid is 37%. And so they really, if you combine their ability to pass the ball and the, you know, mix that in with their ability to shoot the ball, there's a reason they're 26-0.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey, you're the team that I think can put a stop to them, and it's hard to go undefeated, Coach. So we are all behind you. We can't wait to see you guys play, and just want to wish you and your kids the best of luck, and thanks for spending some minutes with us on Coach Speak today.
Thank you very much, Coach. Take care.
All right. That's John Rakeski, the head boys basketball coach of the Windsor Wizards. We will be right back after these messages. Want to thank Building by Design, our sponsorship. For more information, go to buildingsbydesign.com. Welcome back to Coach Speak. Hey, we'd love to hear from you via text. Text us at the Mosier text line at 888-530-0043. Thanks to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Services. Death is inevitable. Make it a little easier on your loved ones by pre-planning with the only locally and operated funeral home in northern Colorado. Mosier Funeral and Cremation Services. With us now, it's always fun having somebody just outside the prep scene and deals with college basketball, but also is heavily involved in the prep scene because he has had two kids play for the Windsor Wizards. But at this time, we want to welcome Northern Colorado's assistant head coach and recruiting coordinator, Houston Reed. Coach Reed, how are you today, man?
Coach Dick, man, I'm doing as good as I can be. You know, I got sent home a little bit earlier in the conference tournament than we wanted, but
I understand.
You know, the Don Meyer quote, easy to please, hard to satisfy, right?
That's right. No, I tell people say, well, how you doing, you know, and season comes to an end, and you have to always put things in perspective. It's basketball, you know, it's not war, it's not, you know, but it's basketball. But those of us so involved and we put so much time and effort, I always say, it's kind of like you get run, you know, you're riding the bus, you step out and you get run over by the bus.
Yeah, I always make the analogy, it's like breaking up with a girlfriend, you know? You break up and it's, you know, you got guys coming back and things moving forward, but once a team completes a season, you know, that team's that team, and, you know, you'll have a totally different team next year, even though you'll have some of the same players, and, you know, there's no rest for the weary. You got to start working on building that immediately, and so there's obviously some emotions and feelings. I'm over 20 years into it, and you know, when the season always comes to an end, I always kind of have an empty feeling for a couple of days.
Sure.
And so just kind of working through that a little bit, but at the same time, getting on the horn here and her searching for some future Bears.
Absolutely. Tell me how that recruiting process has changed now, Coach. I mean, I know you guys are already into it, and how much is it recruitment now of high school players, JUCO players, and transfer portals?
Well, the last part, the transfer portal, is obviously the one that's changed it drastically. You know, I think a motto that we followed at Northern Colorado for a long time is we want to recruit high school kids, and we want to continue to do that and develop and grow kids. And we were in a situation this year, you know, where we recruited high school kids, and everybody else in our league recruited portal kids. And so we were in a situation where we had 18-year-olds going against 22-year-olds that had NCAA Division I experience. And so for us moving forward, we still got about what we call 5-6 sophomores with redshirt years and COVID years and all of the above that are still sophomores. So for us, I think, you know, the recruiting angle for us is we've got to get a little bit older right now. That includes junior college. And then obviously, you know, the portal opens here as far as kids putting their name in on Monday, the 13th. And so just kind of waiting for that process to start a little bit. But at the same time, wanting to put a fence around our state and recruit Colorado kids, we've always kind of hung our hat on that. You know, and so just it's a little bit of everything.
Well, I don't know if anybody has done a better job of player development than the UNC Bears. I mean, Matt Johnson was on the show earlier today and talk about a kid that developed, you know, when he came in, he's just a skinny freshman. You know, and he leaves as a man. But player development has been very vital for you guys and the Bears program.
Yeah, it really has. And there's a lot of things that really go into that. I think the one thing I've learned with coming on staff at Northern Colorado is just the development of how much film we watch with guys, of just having a better understanding of the game, and not just collectively the X's and O's, but just little things with guards about, you know, teaching kids to play off of 2 feet and knowing the reads to make in ball screens or in motion actions, and just really trying to develop kids through the computer screen is something we want to be really good at that. And that's something I did in the past, but not at the level that we do at Northern Colorado. So not only on the court development and getting the time in to grow them, but just getting kids to you know, understand the game and what we're trying to teach. And you know, kids have, you know, they always ask, and you're a guy who's been coaching longer than I have, is like, how do you stay relevant with kids as you get older and kids get younger and the generations change? The kids these days, they want you to show it to them, I want you to explain it to them.
They need the reason why, don't they, Coach?
They need the reason. They do. And so I think film is a big way for us to that we really utilize for development. That's been obviously great for our players' growth, but also a growth for me as a coach.
Well, Coach, you were a junior college player, and then you coached at least 10 years at the junior college ranks. Something special going on right now this weekend is that Region 9 tournament. Lots of players in the Region 9. There's been players, come and go, but it seems like that region produces a lot of terrific players on a yearly basis.
Yeah, I mean, I think junior college and Region 9 is going through some of its shifts and changes as well with prep school now, right? And so, so they're fighting that beast, but yeah, no question, Coach. I mean, the Region 9 has always produced good players, and I'm part of when I was in the league, there's a lot of the older coaches were around. A lot of those older coaches have stepped away, but there's still a handful or the majority of coaches in Region 9 are really good coaches. And I know that's what we look for is we're looking to recruit the programs in junior college that run their program like it's a four-year institution. And there's a lot of schools in Region 9 that kind of make that that transfer seamless for a lot of those junior college kids coming up to NCAA schools. And so we obviously are, with myself and Coach Farringer and Coach Smiley, all three of us coached in that league.
Sure.
And so we're still pretty connected and follow it closely and looking forward to, obviously we've got some guys on the road up there now to, watch that. And we're involved with some kids and excited for just all levels of basketball right now.
Coach, you've coached at the JUCO level, and then you were the head coach at Chadron State and now an assistant at the Division I level at UNC. Major changes, or is coaching?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. I think this, in between the lines, when you go out to blow your whistle and you're preparing a team in a practice and a game, the game of basketball is the game of basketball. And I also, was fortunate. I started my career off. I coached 4 years of high school before I went to junior college. So I've done high school, junior college, Division II, and Division I. And I think the one thing, I think, if basketball stays the same, I think the expectation of performance and the expectation for production changes with each level you go up. And so I just think the expectations are higher and you start off, expecting to be able to, shoot this percent or make this play or be this prototypical in your size and your athleticism and, have a position that you play. And I just think that gets, more and more relevant, at each level. I think that's probably the biggest difference. But the ability to coach and relate to kids and understand, situational basketball and managing games, I think all that's the same.
Well, Coach, I'll tell you what. I know your season didn't go the way you wanted to, a little early exit. Understand that, but I just can't tell you how we feel, what a great job you, Coach Smiley, and the staff do for the Bears, and I know there's going to be some great years ahead. Hey, but let's switch gears, Coach. Let's put that dad hat on now. Olivia just finished her first season as a freshman at Colorado Mesa. Did she not only finish the season, she was an all-league player, Coach. Talked about that daughter a little bit.
Oh man, you're pulling at my heartstrings, Bruce. I'm really proud of Olivia. Obviously, getting the Freshman of the Year award is awesome, but just making the first team All League,
I mean, that's incredible.
There's only 10 players that make that out of a league that's got 15 teams, and so for the other coaches in the league to recognize her contribution to their women's team, I think speaks highly on what her potential is and the type of year she had. And then I can speak as a dad and a coach a little bit. Kids are looking to find a place to go. Being in the right situation is important. And Taylor Wagner, the way he runs his program and what he emphasizes really fits Olivia's, style of play. And he does a good job of getting her some touches, but Generally, she's just a winning player on both ends of the floor, and he really, you know, it's that those type of things are really important to him, and so just really thankful that she's got the opportunity to be there, and as a freshman, had the chance to have an impact on her team right away.
Well, Colorado Mesa has made it a significant inroads in northern Colorado, both on the men's side and the women's side.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm going to just personally talk about Olivia because she's worked some camps for me, and you couldn't have a nicer kid that has that competitive nature but can step back and, you know, unwind and help young kids in a camp situation that you would never know how great a player she is.
Yeah.
She's just there helping kids, teaching the game, and she's special and first team freshman player of the year in the RMAC conference. Boy, congratulations to her. And now Johnny gets to play in the Final Four. He's a junior, Windsor Wizards leading rebounder going into the tournament. You probably have had a chance maybe to watch him a few times this year, but tell us about that dad-son relationship with Johnny, who plays for the Windsor Wizards.
Yeah, I'm really, you know, in today's day and age, just really thankful for technology. You know, just, you know, was able to get there for about 10 games, was able to be there last weekend, blessed to be able to watch them play this weekend, and then just be able to kind of stay up and watching games online accordingly. But really proud of Johnny, really proud of the way he impacts the game. You know, he's a winning player. They've got Windsor's got six seniors who've played together and been together a long time, and Johnny just, you know, he can kind of be the core on that team from what I've seen of just helping the team win. And he's always been that way. He's always been a winning player, and he's been more aggressive offensively in the state playoffs, and looking to score a little bit more. And you know, my conversations with him as far as just being a dad, I'm just really proud of him because every time we talk, he just says, "Dad, I want to do anything I can to help our team win. Whatever our team needs to win, I'm willing to do that." And so I'm just proud that of the type of person and teammate and contributions he's making to a team that has a chance to win a state championship.
And, you know, John Wooden, it's amazing how good a team can be when nobody cares who gets the credit.
That's 100%. That's one of my favorite quotes as well.
But Coach Reed, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on this morning. I know you're going to be super busy. Do you get a chance to sit back and just watch March Madness, or is it one of those, you know, man, we should still be playing, we're not playing? Can you enjoy basketball during the month of March when you're not involved coaching a team?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the good things, one of my favorite times of the year is obviously when that Final Four comes, simply because we go on a dead period. And so it's much easier to relax. It's much easier to watch games and stuff when you know that your colleagues are doing the same thing. You don't feel like someone's working when you're not, right? And the other part of it, too, is, you know, the coaching. As you know, the coaching profession is long and wide, and there's relationships across the board. And so I enjoy watching a lot of the conference tournaments in early rounds just to be able to watch some of my friends and my coaching colleagues that are still playing and being able to support them and kind of celebrate their successes as well. So that's the part I enjoy about it the most, is just the relationships we've made through the 20-some years of doing this, and just support some of my colleagues. And then, obviously, there's no greater time than March. I mean, it's a celebrated time in all of athletics, and it should be, and it's one of the most exciting times of the year. So I try to enjoy it as much as I can.
Well, I want you to enjoy this weekend down at that Final Four in high school. And again, Coach, thanks so much for having you on. Appreciate it, and we'll be visiting soon.
Bruce, we appreciate everything you guys do in just supporting these young people, and enjoy listening to you guys. And anytime I can do anything, Coach, you let me know.
Absolutely. We appreciate that. That is Coach Houston Reed, the associate head coach for the assistant head coach and recruiting coordinator for the UNC Bears. We will be right back. Want to thank Gould Parts out in Eaton, Colorado. If you need parts, go see the fine folks at Gould Parts. Welcome back to Coach Speak. I want to thank Holyoke for that text out there. The Heritage Christian girls defeat Lyman. Lyman, a very experienced team. So congratulations to Heritage Christian on their 45-41 win. Also, just a few other scores on the girls' side. Ellicott defeated Buena Vista 45-30, and Briggsdale overcomes Fleming 47-31. Starting here in just a few minutes will be the University Dievlin game. High interest in Greeley, Colorado, to see how the Bulldogs perform today against Dievlin. Want to bring on now a guy I'm fairly familiar with, head coach of the Fossil Ridge Sabercats, who had an outstanding performance last week against the Fort Collins Lampkins, and now will take on Ken Shaw's Regis team. Matt Johansson, Coach, your week's been better than mine. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, absolutely. You deserve to be on, and you get another crack at it. Final Four, you guys play maybe a little bit of a surprise that you're playing Regis. They knocked off number two Rock Canyon. We know when it doesn't become necessarily chalk. You know, not everybody automatically moves on. But first, congratulations on that. And tell us about Regis a little bit.
Well, watching a lot of film on them and, you know, doing a lot of research on them, they've been solid all year long. I mean, they've played a really good schedule. They've been in every game. You know, I'm not sure how they're a number seven seed, but I know that they are a very capable team and very well coached. Coach Shaw does a great job, of course. He always has, and he's been around almost as long as you have.
Actually, so. I believe the same amount of years, other than I took a year off after Resurrection departed me in 2020. I did not coach in 2021, but Kenny and I actually grew up, Coach, about 13 miles apart.
Yep, I knew you guys were out there on the east,
yes,
Colorado.
You know, I played at Sterling, he played at Marino, and Marino, we would, that back then there were no scrimmage rules. You could scrimmage as much as you wanted, so we would scrimmage Marino quite often. They were the little school, we were the big school. They would just come over and kick us every time we scrimmaged. It was no contest because of Kenny was a big part of that, but he had some awesome teammates, and Lipsack and a lot of the players on those you know, teams back in the day. But I'm sure his kids can shoot it well.
I love it. Yeah, they definitely can shoot it. I, you know, they've got some players there. You know, DeRay, I played with his dad in college, you know, so there's some, you know, there's some familiarity there.
Yes.
Too, and you know, so it's fun. It's going to be a good time.
And I believe Dad played at Littleton under Coach Ron Vlasheen. Is that correct?
That is correct. And he played with Doug Larson, who is the father of Drew Larson for us. So, yes.
Yeah, that brings back some memories. Not all good. But, Coach, you guys did. You played outstanding Saturday. You held the Lampkins to one of their lowest shooting percentages. Ty just locked down defensively. And, of course, Nick offensively had no answer for him.
Well, I tell you what, it was a great game. And I'm really disappointed that it had to happen in eight. I was hoping that it would happen later because you talk about two capable teams. I thought that you know, we were very capable of meeting in the championship or the four. And how cool would that have been for Northern Colorado basketball to, you know, have that happen along with, you know, Windsor, you know, and Windsor girls, and, you know, just a lot of cool things going on. And I was disappointed that we couldn't have met later on. But hats off to the Lambkins there. Whew. That was a really good game, and we just found a way to pull away in the fourth. Thank goodness.
Well, you guys sure did, and again, I thought defensively you were really tough, and offensively you're always good, and yeah, you deserved it. I mean, there's no doubt about that, Coach. But there, and I would agree. It's not sour grapes or anything like that, but it would have been fun if we would not have been matched up in the Grade Eight. I mean, it certainly would have, but that's how it goes. And outstanding season, Coach. I mean, you guys have just from beginning to start had an outstanding year. Early in the season, you defeated some great teams. I mean, you went to Thunder Ridge and you defeated them, and then Valor got you. That was an overtime game, was it not?
No, it was, the Thunder. It was a very, very end of the game. It was a 2-point. They hit a shot at the end to win it, and that was it. Yeah,
and that just goes to show you, Coach, the strength of 6A this year. You know, we're talking about Valor, and we're not talking about them anymore. But they were an outstanding team. You know, when you limit it to 32, you even eliminate some pretty quality basketball teams from getting into the playoffs. Do you like the 32, or should we go back to 48?
Well, I tell you what, look at what happened to us in the first round. We're fortunate enough to make it out of the first round. I mean, there is no guarantees on any games that you play in the 32. And, you know, we get matched up with a 30 seed, and there's no way Schapp is a 30 seed.
Right.
And you know, it just so happens that's the way it works out with the numbers. But there's no way that they're a 30 seed. And, you know, we started that game down 10-0. And, you know, we had to fight and scratch and claw to get back into it. We found a way to win, thank goodness. But that just shows you, to your point, we got some quality teams all the way through 6A.
You know, and we started the Denver South game down 9-0. You know,
there
they come out and hit three quick threes, and it's 9-0, 9-2, and it's like quick timeout. What's going on here? You know,
yep.
And then, you know, fortunate to play better as the game progressed. But you're right. There's just some outstanding teams. And, you know, I'm going to give a plug to, you know, two of our rivals, Pooter and Rocky. Pooter has an outstanding player, had a very good year, and yet they don't even get the chance, you know, to get into the playoffs. And
so unfortunate.
That's just disappointing to me when we're trying to create participation for kids and have them, you know, be able to play a few more. We're limited to so few games in Colorado anyway. But
and to celebrate kids.
Right.
You know, why not give them another shot? You know, I think that my understanding, and I could be all wrong here, but what I heard was they didn't feel like Chassa, didn't feel like the play-in games, the 33 through 48 were close. They didn't feel like they were good games.
Well, I can't disagree more with them.
Yeah,
you know,
yep, I agree.
A year ago, we wouldn't have gotten into the playoffs. Okay, and we went down to Silver Creek, had a competitive game. It wasn't like we had no shot. It was a competitive game. But that experience alone last year, I know, helped us going into the season this year. And I think there's too many teams eliminated too early. So I'll get off my soapbox now. But
I'm on it with you, pal.
Positive changes. Hey, tell us about your itinerary this week, practices, and then going back down to the Coliseum. What's your schedule like, Coach?
Yeah, so it's a long week. Not as long as last week because, you know, I hate playing the Lampkins. It's a long week, so, you know, your first two days for us is, you know, we're focusing on us. We're focusing on, you know, having fun being in the gym with each other and, you know, like we always are. But, you know, trying to get some work on us, really focus on who we are and what we're doing and why we're doing it. And then the last couple days, you know, is kind of the install and repping out defensively what we're trying to do for our opponent and, you know, keep the focus on us, but be aware of what the opponent is doing. And then Friday, get down there, you know, get down there early and, you know, get in the environment, see the environment, and let's go.
So absolutely.
That's pretty much it. You know, we'll do a team dinner the night before that we always do, and, you know, just kind of those things, and, you know, just try and keep it as status quo as possible.
Well, Coach, hey, we wish you the best. Enjoy the moment, and go get Regis.
I appreciate it. Thanks,
all
buddy.
Right. That's Coach Matt Johansson from the Fossil Ridge Sabercats. We will be back to wrap up Coach Speak after these messages. Welcome back to Coach Speak, live from LO Fiber Studios. I want to thank AMCO of Fort Collins and Loveland. It's still cold today with the wind, but if your car has taken, you know, a hit because of the cold weather or for any other reason, go see Don at AMCO to take care of your vehicle. That's AMCO of Fort Collins, AMCO of Loveland. Also thanking Martin Marietta as a leading provider of natural resource-based building materials. Martin Marietta provides the foundation upon which our communities improve and grow. Boy, a lot of information going into the state tournament with Coach John Rakeski. Both the Windsor boys and Windsor girls are in that final four. I'm not sure how many schools can say that. I'm not aware of any others. There might be some at lower levels, but congratulations to the Wizards. Thanks also to Coach Houston Reed. This guy has been successful everywhere he's gone, high school, junior college, the RMAC level at Chadron State, and now as an assistant with Steve Smiley and the UNC Bears. Wishing all the teams, Matt Johansson's Fossil Ridge Sabercats, the best of luck. If you're nearby, go see some games at the over at UNC. Watch some games being played. I heard Miles Blumhardt on earlier. He's officiating one of those games over there. The small school state tournament, just exciting, great time. Northern Colorado, go support some kids. Have a great day.